Right, let's get into the word today. I just want a brief, I've got a 1-point message. And the reason why it's a one, thank you so much to our worship team. They did a great job. Please keep praying. There's so many people that are still sick, not just from COVID, but from other illnesses and problems and things. So let's keep praying for people that are absent. If you notice somebody that is absent, it'd be great to just get in touch with them, perhaps call them, perhaps visit, and give them a word of encouragement. Okay? Don't leave it to me. I'll do my part, you do your part. Okay? Give them a word of encouragement. You may find somebody that is normally at church for whatever reasons, you haven't seen them for a while. Give them a call. And a word of encouragement really does go a long way. Amen? But there are lots of different people that I know of that are not here due to problems and illnesses and things like that. The other thing that I want to mention is that because it's prayer month, every Thursday night is dedicated to prayer at 7:30 here at church. And this coming Thursday night, we're going to be praying for every family in the church individually. We're going to specifically pray for every family. So I want to invite you to be here. There's nothing on television better. There's no event that's better. At the end of the day, we do what we value. Okay? We do what we value. And I think that when we've got this prayer month on a February and also in August, we need to prioritize it. If we don't, it doesn't happen. Simple as that. You know that, don't you? Yeah, of course, you know that. So on Thursday night, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be, among other things, we're going to focus on praying for each family in the church. And we're going to lift them up before the Lord. Amen. All right. I how many love being in church today? I so love the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit does His thing, you just simply get out of the way and let God do it. Amen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit always does His thing through the Word. And so we're going to give preeminence and precedence to the Word just for a few minutes. I ask that we just open up our hearts to it. Is that okay? And let the Holy Spirit continue to minister into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen? We're reading 2 Peter, and our study is going to be 2 Peter for a number of weeks. And this is part two of a message that I started entitled, You Must Know Who You Believe. You must know. There's no choice in that matter. You must, as a believer, as a Christian, you must know who, not only what, but who you believe. And if you missed out on that message, you need to go back to it because it's the first half of this message. This is the second half of what we started. It was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, that particular message. Okay, you must know who you believe, and this is part two. So what we're going to do to start off, excuse me, is read verses 1 through 4. Can we do that again? Let's read verses 1 through 4. And let me encourage you to, in your own time, in your own devotions, perhaps read through the book of 2 Peter once a week. How many think that's impossible? That's so hard. How many think that? How many think it is possible? All right, once a week, 3 chapters, okay? Once a week, read through the book of 2 Peter. Let's read the first 4 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, and let me just pause there for a second. It seems like we did the obtaining when you read it that way, but it's not us that sought after God. The Bible says that He sought after us. And we responded to Jesus coming after us. Amen? So it's not something that we went looking for. It's the other way around. Okay? We already talked about that a number of weeks ago. So to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, that is the apostles, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace, everybody say grace and peace, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Beautiful, beautiful words. We've already talked quite a bit about this. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things, everything that we need, that pertains to life and also to godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, the promises, you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Great passage of Scripture. Great. Sometimes I feel like pausing on this for 1 or 2 months. We're not going to do that. But we're going to give one more installment today. And it's one main thought. And it's going to come to a climax towards the end because I want you leaving thinking about it. I tell you that if you understand what we talk about today, it'll change your Christian life forever. That's how much I believe what I want to share with you today. It'll change your perspective on how the Christian life works forever. So let's stand and ask the Lord to help us. Can we do that? Change your posture for just a moment. Perhaps lift up your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege, because it is a privilege that we have as believers of coming around your word, as it were, and having Jesus at the center, just expounding that word. And it happens by the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. So, Holy Spirit, we give it over to you. Take words of a man that are inadequate, make them adequate for your glory. We pray, Lord, that there's fresh revelation and illumination through your word to our lives. We need your word. And so we yield to your word, subject ourselves to your word. Give us hearing ears and hearts with a heart that's willing to follow through in obedience. That's our desire today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Please take your seats. Excuse me. There was a pastor that I read about who was on holidays in Hong Kong. And the story goes that he went to some fun park and went on one of the slides in this particular fun park. Pastor remains unnamed. He passes a church that remains unnamed. I'm not here to bag churches, but I want to share with you a principle. While he was in this ride, slide, at 60 miles an hour, he claims to have had a revelation from God. And the revelation was something that he had been seeking God about in terms of his church back home, and that the fact that as many as a third or more of the church weren't baptized. And he thought, what can I do? What can I introduce? How can I make it different? How can I make it fun, exciting, so that people will get baptized? So the revelation that he had, you guessed it, why don't I introduce a baptism water slide? I kid you not. What he forgot to do is look in the Word whether he could find baptism water slides. I guarantee you, as God is my witness, you won't find it. However, he claims to have had a revelation. And so, of course, water baptisms went up. 75-foot water slide created at the church somewhere called Project Water Slide Baptism, known as Dunk Miser 3000.
There's another church, remains unnamed, large church in the States. I like the church from a distance. I've never been to that church. There's nothing that I'm disliking about the church. However, they too have an interesting baptism approach. And it's baptism with benefits. If somebody chooses to get baptized, you will get a brand new towel, the t-shirt and the pants, and as an added bonus, new underwear. I'm not lying to you. You also get a hairdryer, toiletries. Anybody want to be baptized? Just for that, I'll get baptized again. I think it's enough. I've got a couple more examples, but it's enough. 2 Peter, and of course Peter who's writing this book, he said, our salvation, our faith that we have obtained and the benefits of our faith that are described in verses 2 to 4 are contingent, depend on our knowledge of him. That's why I don't believe in spontaneous baptisms. Many churches around the world practice spontaneous baptism. So they'll schedule a baptism service. They'll have, let's say, 20 people that are going to be baptized. And in case anybody wants to, we can add another 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100. And in most cases, they'll have the spontaneous ones that decide to get baptized on the spot. As far as the Word of God's concerned, I can't see it. If you could show me, I'm willing to be shown. I really am. But I can't see it. It says here that our believing must involve knowledge. Couple of weeks ago when we talked about this, I expounded on that. Our believing must involve knowledge, because if it doesn't involve knowledge, there's no salvation. And because the person is in fact, due to the lack of knowledge of what they're doing, is not born again. And if they're not born again, they can call themselves Christians until the cows come home or until the moon turns blue. It really matters nothing. Can we be frank today? I don't know how to be any other. I want to give you the word today. So if the person is not born again because of a lack of knowledge, then what they did have was some sort of religious formula. And let me also suggest to you that we be careful not to reduce the sinner's prayer into some kind of religious formula. Just because you said the prayer doesn't guarantee your salvation. And I wish I could go into more detail on this, but it's a real fact. And there are variations of the sinner's prayer. Did you say the prayer? Because if you said the prayer and you were sincere in your heart, automatically you get saved. It's not true. Listen, I want the best for you. It doesn't work that way. So today I want to take this a little bit further. From our initial knowledge to growth in that knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of, or in the sphere of, or within the context of our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We get peace and we get grace in the context, in the sphere of our knowledge of Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted us all things to pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Come on, shout amen. I need your attention, but shout amen, just help me.
Is that all right? That helps me. You don't have to do it, but it does help me. It all happens in and through our knowledge. And conversely, does not happen in the absence or the lack of knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? Of Jesus, knowing Jesus. And of course, if we know Jesus, we also know the Father. We know that. So the key to multiplied grace and the key to God's power for life and godliness is our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the understanding of the existence of, but a knowledge and a growth in that knowledge. It's interesting that right at the beginning, Peter highlights the necessity of our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then he talks about a bunch of other stuff that we're going to be talking about. And then right at the end, he talks about it again. The very last word or verse is this, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, everybody say grow. Shout it, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. So our faith begins with knowledge, is sustained by knowledge, and is increased and established by knowledge. Listen, this is very important. Knowledge alludes to a dynamic relationship, because we're talking about it's a relationship with God, not just a religion. You've heard that many times, haven't you? So this knowledge that we're talking about alludes to a dynamic relationship. In fact, our interaction with God is a relational one. Amen? So I want you to think about that for just a moment. What does this mean? And how does it work? I want to demystify what it means to have this relationship with God. You know why I want to demystify it? Because people have mystified it. How many have listened to people and it seems like God is talking to them every moment? God told me to do this and God told me to do that and God told me to go there and God told me to which shirt to wear and which shoes to put on. And God, you know, I'm thinking, am I missing something? Is that how it works? Is that how it works? I'm not so sure it works that way. Somebody in the Bible was called a friend of God. Does anyone remember who it was? Abraham was called a friend of God. Did you know that Abraham had infrequent encounters with God over decades? And he was a friend of God. But God didn't speak to him, the friend of God, as much as he speaks to some people that he talks to every 2 seconds because he's got nothing else to do. Is that how it works? Moses. The Bible says that Moses talked to God face to face as a man would talk to a friend. He had 40-year gaps in talking to God face to face. And when he did talk to God, it was once every so often. But we've already said that we've got a full revelation of God talking to us. Come on, help me out. In the book. Amen? It's in the book. Do you want to hear the word of God? Do you want to hear the voice of God? Here it is. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Do you want to hear the voice audibly? Read it all audibly. And you'll hear the voice of God all the time, all day if you want. Let's not mystify it. Let's not be airy-fairy. Let's not be off with the clouds in the sky. Leave that for somebody else. And so everything pivots on your knowledge of Jesus. He's the beginning, he's the middle, and he's the end. Any relationship just quickly grows on three things, three phases. Just very, very quickly, if you're writing something, write it down. There's the meeting, the introduction. I got introduced to Louise from behind a squeeze box. Let me give you some context. I was at church. I used to play the piano accordion. I was in the band, believe it or not. I used to be a worship leader, Joshua. I was a good one at that. Don't ask me to do it again. In the initial stages, I used to play the but my eye and my thoughts weren't on the music. And the piano accordion was quite big. I was up here somewhere. And I used to be eyeing a girl over there. That was my initial introduction. And she used to be eyeing me. I'm telling you. That's the truth. Anyway, that's the introduction. My name is. That's how relationships start. Most gospel messages are all about a relationship, an introduction to the knowledge of Jesus. However, it cannot stay there. It doesn't end there. It's not the be-all and end-all, the introduction. How many know that? And so, for those that we joined us with our doctrine classes, by the way, we're going to start them in a couple of weeks. We'll give you the exact, we're talking about first week of March. And we're right in the middle of our study on salvation, okay? Now, for those that were there, we've already covered this stuff. Salvation includes, please, please understand this, so, because we miss it too often. Salvation includes regeneration, includes conversion and justification, and includes repentance. Together, it's salvation, the doctrine of salvation. And very often, modern preaching excludes many of these aspects. And I don't have time to go into that. But it's so, so, so important that we get it right. So there's the introduction. So there's the regeneration, there's the conversion, the justification, which of course is instantaneous. The repentance and change of mind and heart is something that is ongoing. Now, that's the introduction. The second phase of a relationship is the commitment to the relationship, okay? The decision to pursue the relationship. That's not hard. What I'm telling you is not difficult to understand. Obviously, for the relationship to continue, the desire must be mutual. You can't have a one-sided relationship. How many understand that? You understand it fully well. So there needs to be a mutual desire for this relationship to continue. And of course, the relationship that we have with God is one that God wants more than we want it. And somebody said today, if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. There's a mutuality to that relationship. Okay? We understand that. Number three, the third part, which is really, really important, this leads to a maturation of the relationship. There's maturity that is in a relationship when it continues. There's a deepening in that relationship, and it will always include the element of love. That's why the Bible talks a lot about, by this you will be known if you have, love for one another. Love is the outstanding part of the of a mature relationship. Let me just mention quickly, for mature love to exist, there needs to be three elements. And that's this is a message on its own. The three elements are commitment, which is obviously extremely important. And think a marriage relationship for a second. Commitment. But commitment alone will not hold that marriage together. There needs to be passion. Okay? Passion alone will not hold that marriage together, because the flame can go out from time to time. You have to fan it. Okay, the passion needs to be kept hot. And then the third one is intimacy. So when you've got those three in balance in a relationship, that relationship will mature. Love will mature when those three things are in balance. And it's the same thing for a person that is pursuing Christ. Those three things must mature. The commitment to Christ, the passion for Christ.
You see, we can't serve Christ however we like. The Bible says that in the last days, the people will abandon the faith, and the faith of many will grow cold. You can't serve God cold. No such thing. Revelation talks about another way people tried to serve God, and they tried to serve God lukewarm. You know your Bible. And God says, not good enough. You make me sick. There's no way you can serve God lukewarm. But Romans talks about serving God with zeal. With zeal, not just any way. If you're going to decide to serve God, you've got to serve God red hot with the passion of zeal. It talks about the red hot in Romans, I think it's chapter 10 or 11. It talks about the fact that that person needs to be boiling hot in temperature as he serves or she serves the Lord. So a relationship cannot continue unless there is absolute commitment, zeal, passion in that relationship, and of course, intimacy, which is vulnerability and transparency. Give me a good amen. So you turn that over to our serving the Lord. There's commitment. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Amen. No turning back. Passion, which is our first love. And too quickly we lose our first love. And of course, intimacy, which is transparency and vulnerability in the sight of God. So this works in a spiritual sense. So how does this really work? How do I apply it to me? How do I know him more, love him more, appreciate him more, serve him more? Give me the bottom line facts. That's where I'm heading. Are you ready? That's where I'm heading. Perhaps we could try harder. Try as much as you like. The reality is that when we try hard, sometimes we're going for it and sometimes we don't want to know Jesus at all. Sometimes we're on top and sometimes we're collapsed in a heap. Sometimes we want to win the world and sometimes we want to run away. How many know what I'm talking about? Trying hard or harder, it may be a good motivation, but it doesn't work. I know what we need to do. We need to pray more. Prayer is essential, but prayer is not the key. Not the key that I'm going to give you today. Or what about reading the Word? I just said if we want to know God and increase our knowledge, it's the Word. Prayer, the Word is essential, but it's not the key. It's not the key. So what's the key? It's something particular that must happen for relational growth to happen. When this particular thing happens, your relationship grows to the next level. And if you continue what you need to be doing, inevitably it'll grow to the next level. And then the next level. And it will continue to be a dynamic relationship rather than a static relationship. And I guarantee you, if we do what I'm telling you that we do and not degenerate to a static relationship, you will continue to grow and you will go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You will. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Here's the interesting thing about this, and I'm coming to a climax on this. You can't make it happen. Oh, thank you very much. I thought you were going to give me the key. You cannot make it happen. There are no three steps. There are no five things. There are no two or three formulas. There are no give me $100 and I'll give you a blessing. None of that. Some churches that I know of have what's called soaking meetings. What's that? And it's on the back of, of course, a revival many years ago called the Toronto Blessing. And so they wanted to keep the river
And they have what's called the soaking meetings. How does that work? What does it do? I'm not sure. Only God knows. What about having somebody pray for you? Does it work that way? Well, somebody may pray for you, and it's a good thing for somebody to pray for you, but don't depend on that for your Christian growth. You see, too many people want to get away with it very easily and lightly, and they'll go to a particular place so that they can be prayed on, and so that that person may do some magic over them, and they'll be okay for the next week. They come back next week for a bit more. Does it work like that? Doesn't work like that. What about following a particular person's preaching or teaching? These days, the internet is far too accessible, and people get into the internet not knowing what they're listening to because of a lack of discernment. Be careful what you listen to on the internet and following certain lines of preaching. I've said that many times before. I'll repeat it again. Okay? You can be led up the garden path and you wouldn't even know it. Be careful. Going to a particular service or going to a particular revival or listening to a person or another person, is that how you do it? No. As I said before, you can't make it happen. And it won't happen by going, or won't happen by doing certain things, or won't happen by saying certain things. It won't happen by repeating certain prayers. It doesn't happen that way. I want to unveil to you today the key to a growing relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The key of your knowledge of God. This key, one point. You're not going to forget it. One point. Will produce multiplied grace and peace that Peter's talking about. And this key will unleash the power of God for life and godliness. And it will produce the promises of the Word of God. This key. So are you ready? How many people are ready? All right, so you're following. That's good. All right, checking up on you. The key. It's found in a particular verse. I'm telling you, sometimes we read the word and we miss it. How many are like that? How many are like me? You read it, but you miss it until God shows it to you. How many are like me? Yeah, yeah. Listen, I came across this and it was 1,000 lumens. In my mind, boom. Let me share it with you as we draw to a close. John chapter 14, verse 21. John chapter 14, verse 21. So important. Let me read it. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, pause. You can have God's commandments and not keep them. I wonder how many sitting in churches have God's commandments, but because it's possible for both to happen. Right there. He it is, or she it is, who loves me. Pause. Sing all you want. Go to church all you want. Empty your pockets all you want. Listen to the internet messages 50 times a day. Doesn't mean that you love him. The person that loves him, the person that loves him, the person who loves Jesus will keep my commandments. I want you to get this, I really do. It's not rocket science. You can play the Christian part all you want. No obedience to my commandments, no evidence of love. Period. Sing about it. Write songs about it. Dream about it. Play music about it. So what?
No obedience to my commandments, no evidence of love. And he who loves me, because he keeps my will be loved by my Father. And get this. The key. Are you ready for the key? How many ready? It's in the next phrase. The key. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. The word manifest is reveal myself. Give him the understanding that he needs. Give him the illumination and the revelation that he needs. Of what? Of me and the Father. Listen to me. Unless Jesus manifests himself to you, you will never know him. And unless Jesus manifests himself to you and reveals himself to you on an ongoing basis, your knowledge will never grow. There must be a disclosure that he brings to you, that he brings to me. And the disclosure that he brings to me and to you, because I've chosen to obey him, because I love him, they're all tied together. Will bring about an understanding of who he is, a depth of understanding of who he is. And because of that depth of understanding who he is, I can serve him more authentically. Listen to me. That's the key. You see, the word manifest is also used when Jesus appeared to his disciples and he showed himself to them. He manifested himself to them. There used to be this conference many years ago in a particular church called Manifest. Very vastly different to what we're talking about. It also refers to exposing people's motives and intentions. Manifest. It also refers to making something known to someone or someone. And in this case, it's Jesus making himself, revealing himself, opening our understanding, opening our revelation, giving us illumination to know who he is. And when we get to know who he is, right at the beginning, the product is salvation. Born again. But it doesn't stop there. He continues to reveal himself and we grow. And when we grow, we mature. And when we mature, there's commitment. And when we mature, there's zeal. And when we mature, there is intimacy. I hope you're getting this. Amen. Because if he doesn't reveal himself to you, you ain't going to grow. And if he doesn't reveal himself to you, you ain't born again. I don't know how many people sitting in churches are not born again. There's a preacher that I admire, God to be with the Lord, who was called America's pastor. Anyone know who I'm talking about? They interviewed Billy Graham in the 90s. They said, what do you think of the results of your crusades? He says, it seems to me that maybe around 25% or so become Christians as a result of the crusades, of those that respond. 25%. And Christians in a broad sense. We know that not all who say, Lord, Lord, Jesus said to many of those, I don't even know you, but they called him Lord. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Studies have been done, extensive studies over decades of crusades and altar calls where people say the prayer. And they found at best, after 1 year, at best, after 1 year, 6% remain some kind of believers after 1 year. 6%. And in all probability, it's probably even less than that. Why? Because believing must include knowledge. Without knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ to that person, you can say whatever formula you want, you are not born again. Everything is contingent to our knowledge of Him. And through that, grace and peace. Through that, the power of God for life and godliness. And through that, the benefits of the promises of God. I pray that we get in this. So important. So what do? I'm finishing. 2 minutes. Have I got 2 minutes? Can I have 2 minutes? The Holmes Illustrative Dictionary says, obedience is to hear God's word and act accordingly. Eerdmans Bible Dictionary says, biblical obedience to God means to hear, trust, submit, surrender to God and His word. Please don't tell me that you love Jesus until you keep His commandment. Let me talk to me. Emmanuel, don't tell yourself that you love Jesus. I'm talking to me. Is that all right? Until you keep His commandments. And to the extent and degree that we keep His commandments in obedience to what we're hearing the Word tell us, we are really His disciples. And guess what happens? He then chooses to reveal Himself to us, manifests. And then we get to know Him. And then the knowledge deepens. And we can serve Him with authenticity. The key. He manifests Himself to us. How do you turn the key? Obedience. How do you get the key? Genuine love. And when all these come together, one level to the next level to the next level. And one day we will meet Him face to face. Come on, let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank Him. Father, thank you for your word once again today. Let it be that the Holy Spirit would take what we've heard, help us to receive it the way it needs to be received, and help us, Lord, give us the courage to think it through, to obey what we're hearing, and to let God be God in our lives and in our experience. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's just worship for a moment, then we wrap up the service. Thank you.